Hello, it's Ron Crabtree here, and it's my pleasure to bring you this audio edition of the Operational Excellence Edge e-zine series titled Change and Transformation Keys in Operational Excellence. As I record this e-zine, we are in the midst of writing a new book, not yet titled, that involves more than 20 really smart authors on various topics relating to what it takes to be fully successful in elements of operational excellence. We decided to start with getting the voice of our potential customers for this new book. We went out to over 1,000 people known by the authors to ask them for some help with research, etc. I'm happy to say over 350 people responded, including many of you who are actually listening to this e-zine. The audience represented a very diverse group. For example, we asked people to tell us what position best described their role in their companies. 42% of our audience were business owners and executive or senior level management folks. The next 44.3% were management, middle management, and supervision, with a relatively small group of hourly staff or individual contributors. The next question we had is, what was the level of knowledge you have about operational excellence, such as Lean Six Sigma and some of those other things I've talked about in this series? And 55% of the total audience admitted to having a modest level of understanding. So a small number saying that they had no idea what we're talking about, about 22% saying, yeah, I know a little bit about this, and the next chunk, about 30% saying, I've been involved, but I still have a lot still to learn. The next question we had in our survey was, how far along is your organization in implementing operational excellence? Kind of giving a ranking here of where we stood. And basically, about 20% saying they really haven't done a whole lot. The next 25% saying they've done some activities. And then the next 31, almost 32%, that there's some active implementation underway, but a lot more work is needed. So basically, about 76% of all the respondents to our survey admitted that they're really not very far along and they have a long way to go with respect to mastering aspects of operational excellence. The next question revolved around this. What topics listed below are important or of interest to you in this topic of operational excellence, Lean, Six Sigma, whatever you want to call it? And we asked them to kind of rate them as what's being very important or highly important, right? So extremely important and then very important. And what was interesting is in the top eight things that were in this list, we had number four, managing change more effectively. Number five on this list, getting employees to be more engaged. And then finally, number eight out of our 15 was being better at high-performing teams, better at training the culture and developing people to be good team leaders. Now, I focus on these three things because they relate to this whole topic about how do we effectively make change happen, get the results that we really should from implementing continuous improvement programs. The next thing that's very important for this discussion is we next ask to people to respond to this, right? Which of these do you see as significant barriers to success in your organization? Please select all that you think are important. So we provided a list of typical reasons why organizations would struggle, run into barriers to change. And I want to list out the top five for you here. And I want you to listen very carefully to what was picked. Number one on this list, ineffective communications. 55% of all the respondents specifically picked ineffective communications as a significant barrier to success in their organization. Number two on this list, poor metrics, unclear goals, accounting and management measurement practices don't support the changes needed. Number two on this list. Number three on this list was not considering the entire organization as a system. In other words, attacking problems in silos, right? Using operational excellence to work on parts of the organization without looking at the entire organization and understanding the cause and effect of making changes in one place and what they're going to have in another. Next on our list at number four was lacking buy-in and understanding from our workforce about what it is we're trying to do. And then finally, fifth on this list, failing to achieve high levels of teamwork and cooperation across the board. Now, I hope you are listening very carefully to those things, because every single one of these top five things screams out that a big issue in success for operational excellence is actually some form of change management. This takes in the importance of communications, being crystal clear about why we are making changes, and then having the right measurements to lead us through that process. Well, luckily for you, I've been there and done that and have worked with a number of organizations over the years and been a real student of what it takes to be successful in getting it right the first time with deploying continuous improvement programs, operational excellence, Six Sigma, whatever you want to call it. And I've come up with kind of my list of nine different important things that we need to do to be successful in getting off to a good start and increasing the likelihood we can overcome those barriers to success. Remember, those barriers, again, were ineffective communications, poor metrics, unclear goals, not measuring the right stuff, not supporting the changes needed, failing to consider the entire organization as a system, lacking buy-in and understanding from the workforce, and failing to achieve high levels of teamwork and cooperation across the board. So, let's tackle my top nine, if you will, list of things that I think are very important. And I start with forming a cross-functional team for a steering committee or a guiding coalition to lead this process, right? This needs to be made up of the various constituencies with the topmost stakeholder as the chair, the CEO or president of the organization. The other thing that's important here is we have to be sure to include unions, and then we need to deliberately include representatives from each of the key stakeholder groups that have a stake in this organization's future success. This should include all the various departments, people at different levels in the organization. It may even include, in some cases, major important suppliers or customers of our company, and certainly perhaps even folks from the board of directors who represent the stockholders who hold value and hold ownership in your company. From there, this guiding coalition or leadership team has to understand and learn some necessary foundation skills in operational excellence, Lean Six Sigma, change management, or the other types of tools and applications that this organization needs to apply. From there, you got to get to begin with the end in mind. And to figure out where you've got to go, I recommend very highly that in most cases, you're going to start off right off the bat with some form of high-level value stream and process mapping and getting to some actual factual data behind the current state performance of your organization. We need to establish the current state, be it good, bad, ugly. We don't care. We need to get to the truth and establish a baseline about how this organization performs today, and understand specifically what are the gaps in our performance that we need to close in the reasonable near future, certainly not further out than the next year or two, and often inside the next 6 months if we want to be focused and make a lot of things happen fast. From there, we have to establish the measures of success and set some stretch goals against measured baselines that we're going to drive our organization to achieve, again, in a reasonable period of time. This is where this whole communication thing really kicks in big time, because up to this point, we're just getting organized, right? We're getting our guiding coalition put together. We're figuring out what it is we need to know and master in terms of new skills to get to the next level. And we're gathering data and getting a good understanding about the current state and what are the gaps we need to close. What goes on at step four is to clearly generate an articulated and engaging vision for your future. This is one that you have to share with everybody who can have an impact on your implementation. It's very important to be extremely clear about the measured results we're shooting for. And I want to point out one more thing that's really important here. Whatever those measured results are, those gaps we're going to close, they need to be balanced. Typically, these are these things I would recommend. Certainly something around customer satisfaction, because without customers, we don't have a business. The speed at which we do things, turnaround times, and things like that are always important to customer satisfaction. Typically, you're going to want something around doing things faster. Quality's on the list because if we don't do it right the first time, that's certainly going to impact our customers, number one. Number two, it's going to add costs that nobody really wants to pay for. And thirdly, we're only as good as the weakest link in our chain from a execution standpoint, from our ability to get it right the first time. So quality has got to be in there. Cost, that's always important because we have to return an acceptable profit for our to justify our existence. Even nonprofit organizations have a need to have a profit-making agenda because without making money, you do not have money to fund the mission. This is even becoming true in state and federal government, becoming more and more cost-conscious, and how can we do things with less? Last but certainly not least is stakeholder satisfaction. What are the metrics and measures? What are the ways we're going to know that we're making a better quality of life for our workforce, for our employees? What is it the managers and senior leadership are trying to accomplish? And then finally, what about those stakeholders and even stockholders who have equity in this business, in this organization? We can't lose sight of their needs either. And we need to come up with a balance between these various forces so that we're not, if you will, only focusing on cost and profit and letting customer satisfaction and quality go down the tubes. We've got to have balanced objectives and goals that we're driving for improvement across this organization. And we need to have the control measures. What are the things we need to maintain and control day by day? And what are the things we're going to drive for improvement? At this point, once your guiding coalition and steering committee, or whatever you call it, has put together this clearly articulated vision, the next thing is to say, okay, what are the risks, roadblocks, and things that can get in our way? It's very important to spend some quality time thinking through what are the risks and barriers to success, and most importantly, what are the countermeasures? What are the things that we can do to mitigate, maybe not eliminate, but certainly mitigate and reduce the impact of known and suspected roadblocks and barriers to success to make OpEx happen right the first time for your organization. Now, you might remember the number one reason, by far, by a big gap, for a barrier to success in the organization was ineffective communication. Here's been my experience. I've done this exercise with thousands of people and well over 100 organizations around the world. And we make a list of the risks and barriers to success, the things that will get in our way. I find that at least 80% of the things we identify as risks and barriers are directly mitigated by some form of better communications. Planning, thinking ahead, communicating, coming up with the right metrics and measures, and making it happen. I'd like you to remember this. People would rather live with a problem they cannot solve than accept a solution they don't understand. The number one countermeasure for these barriers to success, all five of them that I mentioned earlier, revolve around better communications, getting it right the first time, and being effective in our communications. Once we've done that, that's really when we can roll up our sleeves and get to work at developing and setting the timing and the order of priorities in our strategic and tactical plan for deployment of process improvement across the organization. In most organizations, you need to include an element of leadership development. What are the behaviors and skills required to succeed in our desired future state? And make sure that we're putting in place the necessary training and development of our leadership core to get us to where we need to be. In most organizations, what we need is more leadership and less management. Next, we really need to commit to training the entire workforce in the rudiments of operational excellence so that they can fully understand and, most importantly, participate in helping us make the needed changes. Remember, people would rather fight than switch to a different or better way of doing things if they don't understand it. From there, initial tactical implementation. This is really important. We've got to pick the right areas to start first. What are the leverage points in our value streams that we can get the biggest bang for our buck from quickly? This is important so we can demonstrate results quickly, learn and fail forward, right? Make mistakes, but fail forward quickly, and as an organization, commit that you're going to learn as you go. And then finally, aggressively collecting information. And providing meaningful feedback. I must warn you, you can't fail here. It's absolutely deadly if we don't measure and celebrate wins early and often throughout the implementation process. Number 8 on my list, very important from that steering and guiding coalition group that I talked about earlier, we need to validate resources and timing frequently. We have to commit to the idea that this is a learn-by-doing effort. This is required for two principal reasons. One, you can't know everything you'd like to up front, so you can't get caught up in analysis paralysis. And number two, the only constant is change. Change is continuous, and we'll have to modify and adjust on the fly as our environment changes around us as we go. Then lastly, in my list of nine major points, we need to conduct regular meetings of our steering committee or guiding coalition and continue to refine and improve upon the plans for all the reasons I mentioned earlier. We have to commit that this is not a one-and-done exercise, but actually a living, breathing, lifelong journey. Okay, well, that's it for this edition of my easing series, but please watch out for that next installment of this easing. And here in that issue, I'm going to continue to delve into this topic of what it takes to be successful in OpEx. And I'm going to have a guest for that. I'll be introducing another one of the authors from that book that I mentioned earlier. As always, topical requests are welcomed. Things you'd like to know more about, please let me know. It's at ron@operationalexcellenceedge.com. Thanks again. I hope you enjoyed this session, and I look forward to providing you many more in the future. I wish you and your team the greatest of success. Thank you.